Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Eric Name joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Eric, what'd you think of the six? And did you run into Drake, hit him with a little forearm shiver for us?
No, I did not hit up Drake. Well, I shouldn't say that. He hit me up a couple times, but I was like, Drake, I got a lot of work to do.
Right, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, he was trying to take you over to the OVO club. You just didn't have time. Yeah. You had to write good stories.
Yeah. What club was that?
Yeah, come on.
The OVO club?
What's that?
OVO. That's Drake's brand.
OVO?
OVO.
Is that a club or no?
They have a little night spot in Toronto.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric. What did you see in game four?
Yeah, go ahead, Nate.
I saw a Bucks team that, was back on their heels. I think that's the first time, I mean, really since the Celtics game one. I didn't think we saw it in game three in Toronto. I thought game three was, just a total rock fight. And it could have gone either way. But I thought game four, you saw a Bucks team kind of all the way back on their heels as they were just taking shot after shot from that Raptors team. And, they didn't really respond to it very well. So often this year we've seen them really respond in the third quarters, whether that's, putting a team away in the third quarter or responding to another team playing well against them in the third quarter. That's the time where we see them, kind of figure out what they're doing or, what they need to be doing. And we just didn't see that at all last night. And from there, it snowballed and it got ugly. And I think what you got to figure out is, how is Giannis going to get something going against Kawhi? Like that's really what this comes down to. And, it's a large reason why the last couple games I've been asking Giannis if he thinks he's being aggressive enough.
Where is he going to get going, Eric? I mean, how does he get going? What does he do to get going?
To me, it's
offensively. It's you're talking, right?
Yeah. To me, it's essentially the way I put it in my article today was, he's going through essentially the exact same thing LeBron did early in his career, where he has these incredible physical skills, but he's very focused on making the right play. And that was one of those criticisms that just did not leave LeBron really until he got a ring was, he's too focused on making the right play. He won't take games over. He'll just keep making the right pass and keep making the right pass and keep making the right pass.
So what does Giannis have to do then? What is he going to do?
Not pass it.
Okay.
Like you got to go at him.
When there's three jokers in lane, just run over all three of them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's all he's got, right?
That's all he's got, right?
Yeah. That's what a young LeBron had, and he rattled off 25 straight points against the best defensive team in the last 20 years against the Detroit Pistons.
Like, now,
48 special. Like, he did that.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you're that type of player, when you're that caliber of player, that's what you have to do. And is it going to be hard? Yeah, it's going to suck. It's going to be really tough.
It is going to be hard.
That's what you have to do. Like, so for me, that's really what it's been, is that he's got to decide when he wants to flip the switch and be aggressive. Because if he just keeps making the right pass,
it feels like to me, Eric, he's tired of running into that wall.
Yeah, and that could be, but I just think he's giving Leonard, I don't want to say too much respect. Leonard deserves it all. He's a fantastic.
But it's more than just Leonard, though. I was watching film today. Once you get to a certain point in the paint, there's like three guys there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Leonard's the first line of defense, but there's guys behind him.
For sure. And, I don't want to ever say that anyone defends Giannis by themselves.
Exactly.
Like it takes an army.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think we all know that.
Right.
But, like, you do have to, at some point, just kind of decide that I'm going to go get a bucket right now. And is it going to be ugly? Yeah. Might I pick up an offensive foul? Yeah, I might. But to me, that's really kind of where this series can flip, is if Giannis wants to do that. And again, at home, passing it to Nikola Mirotic 10 times might not be the worst thing. He might hit five of those threes. And the Bucks could end up winning this series playing the exact same way that they are now, because when you go home, role players play better, as we've seen in Toronto, and all of that evens out. So maybe that is how you win all seven, or how you win this seven-game series. You win everything at home, and that's just kind of how you get through. But I do think he is going to have to turn up the aggressiveness a little bit. And it doesn't have to be every time, and it doesn't have to be he's not passing anymore. But I do think there's got to be moments where this entire year they've leaned on him, and they've said, hey, you're our MVP. Like, we need a bucket right now. Go get one. And he's been able to do it. And in this series, when they're doing that right now, it's, all right, I'm going to make the right pass, and you guys got to hit a shot. On the road, that becomes a little bit tougher. At home, I think it could work. I think they can very easily win Game 5 playing that way tomorrow, and they could do the same thing in Game 7. But, you know, if you are really trying to take a step forward and kind of change this entire series, I think that's kind of where it can change.
What about on the defensive side of the floor? Would you make any changes defensively?
I think as this series has gone on, they've grown more and more concerned with Kawhi Leonard. And I think really what they were doing in Game 1 and Game 2, like, I didn't think there was a whole lot wrong with it. And I think they're starting to see ghosts out there where they're just doubling too hard. They're sending too much help at Leonard, and he's making the easy pass. And again, like I said, I don't think the Raptors bench guys shoot this well in Milwaukee. And just like we saw, the Bucks bench guys didn't shoot that well in Toronto. Like, I think that all evens out. But, you know, you do have to figure out where that balance is, because if you're going to keep giving open jump shots to guys that are now willing shooters, and in those first couple games, they weren't. But once I got to Toronto, Gasol, Powell, all those guys said, all right, you're going to give us all these shots, we're going to take them, and we are going to make them. So, to me, that's kind of defensively what you have to be thinking about. And again, the first three games, they didn't play terrible defensively. Last night was obviously just an awful outing defensively. So, you know, maybe some of that evens out, but I do think they have to be thinking about that a little bit. And I know on the conference call we had with Bud today, he seemed pretty happy with what they're doing against Kawhi, but he did mention that, you know, we do have to think about some of those other shots that we're giving up, and if we're giving up too many of them. And I do think if there's an adjustment to be made defensively, it's maybe not giving up quite as many as they've given up here in these first four games.
Talking about the Eastern Conference Finals with Eric Name of The Athletic here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Eric, did he say anything about the possibility of a move in the lineup, either if it's Nikola Mirotic coming out of the starting lineup for Malcolm Brogdon, or for what a lot of people have talked about, the way George Hill has played and the way Eric Bledsoe has played, maybe a switch there?
He was asked about it, but he didn't say anything about it, if that makes any sense. But that's, I mean, you know, that's how it goes in the playoffs. You're not going to give away anything like that. So he's not here to tell you what he's going to do with the starting lineup, even though I think ultimately it's kind of silly to even play those games. But that's what all coaches do at this point. But, I mean, to me, all you got to do is look at the box score. Like, whether or not Eric Bledsoe is starting, like, look at the box score. He played 20 minutes last night. Like, George Hill played more than him. Like, I don't want to say the decision's already been made, but in many ways, I think you're gonna see Eric Bledsoe get a chance at the start of the game. And if I know Bud in the way that I feel I know Bud, I wouldn't be surprised if the first play of the game is drawn up for Eric Bledsoe, because that's just how they go. Like, after Brook Lopez misses 12 threes, well, the next night they drop a three for him in the very first play. Like, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Bucks try to get Bledsoe going at home, and, you know, that could be a way to build his confidence and try to get him going. So that wouldn't shock me. But also, if it doesn't work, I wouldn't be shocked if George Hill plays way more minutes than him, just like he did in Game 4. I think you got to go with what's going to work and what's going to win. And at this moment, when Bledsoe is on the floor, the Raptors will not respect him. They will not be anywhere near him. And when it's a defender as long and athletic as Pascal Siakam, it is a serious problem. Like, it just clogs up the floor for anyone else trying to do anything if Bledsoe's unable to take advantage of what Siakam's giving him. And Siakam's giving him a lot. Essentially, every time he's giving him a three. And, you know, like, I cut a clip from, I think it was the third quarter last night. There's 12 seconds left on the shot clock. Chris Middleton has the ball at half court. They run a pick and roll. 3 or 4 seconds run off. Middleton gets into the lane. 2 more seconds run off. He catches it with 6, and he kicks it to the corner to Eric Bledsoe, where the entire season, that's been a shot. No doubt about it, that is a catch-and-shoot three. That's what this offense does. That's what they're built on. And Bledsoe stutter steps into it. He's somehow inside the three-point line instead of behind the three-point line, takes a dribble, and then kicks it over to Ersan Ilyasova, who then kicks it to Chris Middleton because he doesn't want it. And then Chris Middleton has to take a shot clock violation because he can't get a shot off because he's the only one getting respected on the floor. And it's just like, well, guys, like you gotta kind of figure that out. And I know confidence is tough to come by when you are 2 of 18 from the three-point line like Eric Bledsoe is at this moment. But, you know, if the motto is let it fly, you have to let it fly. Like, that's what this is all built
on. Yeah, that's what Joe said, yeah. Hey, let me ask you this real quick before we let you get going here. Let's talk about this whole Drake thing. What's your thoughts on this whole Drake thing? Out of line here, did he bother the players? Did he freak them out? What's your thoughts?
I cannot imagine any players are freaked out by a Canadian pseudo-rapper. I guess he's more of an R&B guy.
Whatever he is.
Former Degrassi star, too. You can say that.
What is an NBA player going to be concerned about with that guy?
Why is everybody talking about it then? I mean, it seems like all Bucks fans are freaked out about Drake.
Budenholzer addressed it today as well in his teleconference because people were asking about it.
Well, yes. I don't think Bud would have wanted to make an opening statement about
right.
Drake.
Agreed.
Or one unprovoked. But, I mean, if you're a Bucks fan, would you rather talk about them getting stomped in Game 4, or would you rather complain about Drake?
Well, the other thing is Giannis's agent shouldn't be on Twitter complaining about Drake either. I mean, all that does is make it look like Giannis is having problems with him, and his agent has to come to his defense on Twitter. I mean, it's a horrible look because it's like a dad trying to stick up for his kid on social media or running to the coach about his kid not getting enough playing time or he's being too hard on him. I was not a big fan of seeing Giannis's agent on Twitter complaining about it and then it becoming one of the stories on the front page of ESPN.com.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all ridiculous.
So what are your thoughts on this whole Drake thing?
I could see him hopping around on the sidelines from my spot. Did it bother me? No. Did it affect the way I watched the game? No, not in any way.
Did it affect the players?
Did it affect the game on the court? No, not in any way. Like, okay. He's just a dude. Like, he's a cheerleader that massages the coach on the sideline. Like,
do you think it's any different than Spike Lee, Eric?
No.
It's the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same.
Spike Lee was in Reggie Miller's head. He owned space there. That was a thing. That was.
Yeah, and then Reggie shut him up.
Sure, but I'm just saying, he had Reggie's attention, though. That's my point. And that's the thing with Drake is, will he get some of these guys' attention by yapping his jaws nonstop throughout the game? I have no idea one way or the other. My question for you is about this all-defensive team that comes out today.
Hold up, because I haven't answered my question
sorry.
Yet because you've been taking over.
I thought he said he doesn't think it affects him.
Ridiculous.
Okay, go ahead, you guys.
No, go ahead. Did you want to answer more?
No, go ahead. You guys good.
Okay. I mean, the all-defensive.
Billy A minute for you. Go ahead.
The all-defensive team, Bledsoe, makes the all-defensive team with Giannis. I saw Jared Dudley on social media today complaining that it should be a positionless all-defensive team, that Kawhi Leonard should have been on there. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets into a really tough spot when you have to limit guys in that way. Like, you know, you're thinking about, I mean, even from a Bucks perspective, I thought Brook Lopez was worthy of all-defensive votes, but he's not going to get any because you have two center spots to fill out, and he's not going to get any, but is he, you know, one of the 20 most impactful defenders in the league? Yeah, he probably was this year. So I would agree with it. I think you got to find a way to the position designations really make for some funky voting. Like, for a guy like Kawhi not to be, you know, first team, like, that's really tough. And I mean, I think even in the last couple of years, like, you've seen the fact that Giannis wasn't an all defensive team guy last year was crazy. Like, he's always been,
yeah, he
like,
been.
Since he was second team all defense in 2016-17, he was obviously one of the guys that should have been on that team last year. And obviously this year, like, the positional stuff really does mess it up. So yeah, I would agree with the assessment. I think you got to find a way to really get the 10 best defenders on there and not just figure out an arbitrary kind of line that, okay, this guy's a guard, I can vote for him as a guard, or this guy's a forward, or this guy's a center. Like, that, I think making a position list really would help you get the 10 best defenders rather than the 10 best defenders at these kind of positions, and we're going to have to draw up lines that maybe don't make a ton of sense.
Eric, it's now a three-game series. Who you got, Bucks-Raptors?
Bucks and seven.
There it is. Eric, name of the Athletic. You can go read his stuff at The Athletic Wisconsin. You can follow him on Twitter, Eric_name. Eric, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
I look forward to it. See you, fellas.
That's Eric Name of The Athletic joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.